American Airlines will cut 12% of its schedule. Customer satisfaction with airlines is, well, about what you'd expect. And Southwest pilots honor Herb Kelleher. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, May 22, 2008. American Airlines came into 2008 predicting it would have to cut capacity 4.6% this year. During its annual shareholders meeting yesterday, the company announced the cuts will instead be about 12% during the fourth quarter and will come with the layoff of thousands of employees. The Associated Press reports passengers will also get pinched as American becomes the first major airline to charge for all checked bags. The first bag will cost an extra $15, and additional bags will be $25. Elite-level members of American's frequent flyer programs, overseas passengers, and full-fare ticket holders will be exempt from at least part of those new luggage fees. Other fee increases are also expected. The capacity cuts will come mostly through the retirement of American's oldest MD-80 series jets. American is the world's largest operator of the type, with 300 flying. The grounding of that entire fleet by the FAA in April over an airworthiness dispute followed a first quarter which saw the airline lose over $500 million. Not surprisingly, AMR stock price fell over 24% after yesterday's announcement. If you've been following the headlines recently, it shouldn't be any surprise that customer satisfaction among U.S. airline passengers is at the lowest point in 7 years. This is according to a survey conducted every year by the University of Michigan. The AP reports the survey was conducted during the first quarter of this year and asked 26,000 passengers about their perceptions of airline quality and value, whether they would fly the same airline again, and about their overall satisfaction. Those flyers scored the industry as a whole at 62 on a scale of 100 based on rankings of the seven largest U.S. carriers. That's down a point from last year's 63 and only 1 point above the worst score ever, a 61 earned in 1995. Top spot in the survey was Southwest Airlines with only a 79, and from there it got ugly fast. Continental and American were tied for second at 62 out of 100, and this survey was taken before American was forced to cancel 3,300 flights in April. U.S. Airways brought up the rear of the pack at 54. You could blame airline management, but the report's author says that wouldn't be completely fair. Clay Sfornell says passengers get what they pay for. Quote, "They buy primarily on price and very little else. The result is very low service and a business model of cost-cutting that really leaves no one happy, certainly not the businesses, the shareholders, or the flying public," unquote. So, will mergers help? Fornell notes, quote, "Combining two negatives doesn't make a positive," unquote. As outgoing Southwest Airlines Chairman Herb Kelleher presided over his last board meeting yesterday, several Southwest Airlines pilots sat in the audience, in uniform, preparing to honor their company's chairman. The Southwest Airlines Pilots Association noted that Kelleher was instrumental in the negotiation of all seven contracts and several extensions between Southwest Airlines and its pilots. Union President Captain Carl Kowitsky commented, quote, "His 38 years of innovation, leadership, and positively outrageous service are something to truly commend. The pilots of Southwest Airlines want to express our sentiment to Herb that it has been an honor and a privilege to be a part of his aviation legacy," unquote. Southwest pilots are currently in negotiations with the airline for a new contract. It'll be the first they've negotiated with incoming Chairman Gary Kelly, who succeeds Kelleher. Delays in development of Boeing's 787 Dreamliner may come with a silver lining. The Seattle Post-Intelligencer reports that some airlines, looking at 30-month delivery delays for the Dreamliner, are considering Boeing 767s instead. Production of the 767 has been nearly at a standstill after the U.S. Air Force passed over Boeing's 767-based design for a new aerial tanker. It looked as if 767 production, currently at just one plane per month, could have ended within 2 years. Now, sources tell the PI that Boeing plans to boost 767 production to two planes a month starting in 2009, whether Boeing wins its protest of the KCX award to Northrop Grumman or not. The tactic is not unprecedented. Airbus recently bumped up production of its A330 as a stopgap for customers awaiting the delayed A350XWB, which is now expected to start delivery in 2013. Up next on ANN, Congress votes to give NASA's shuttle schedule some breathing room. The Russians say they know what happened to that Soyuz capsule, but not why. And a skydiver who survived a crash sues the jump operation. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for May 22, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. NASA may soon be granted some breathing room in its quest to wrap up all space shuttle missions by September 2010. A bill now under consideration in the House of Representatives would put three additional shuttle missions on the space agency's schedule and would remove the hard deadline for all flights to be completed. Florida Today reports that that approval is part of a $20 billion budget for NASA in fiscal year 2009. That's an increase of $2.6 billion over the current White House recommendation. The bill passed the House Science and Technology Committee's Space and Aeronautics Subcommittee on Wednesday and could come to a full vote within a few weeks. Under the House's bill, two shuttle flights to the International Space Station, now listed as contingency flights, would be finalized. A third flight would deliver the Alpha Magnetic Spectrometer. That mission was dropped by NASA after the loss of Columbia in February of 2003. The House bill would also approve about $1 billion for development of NASA's Constellation Manned Space Program, which will ultimately replace the space shuttle. The Associated Press reports the Russian space agency blames an equipment module which failed to detach from a Soyuz space capsule for the capsule's steeper-than-planned re-entry last month. U.S. astronaut Peggy Whitson, Russian cosmonaut Yuri Malenchenko, and South Korean turonaut Yi Sun-yeon were subjected to excessive Gs and a hard landing 260 miles off course. All three spacefarers survived the harsh conditions, but So-yeon was hospitalized days after the accident for back pain. Roscosmos chief Alexei Krasnov says the equipment module was supposed to jettison from the capsule after it detached from its berth at the International Space Station. This made the second time in as many re-entries that a problem developed with the Soyuz capsule's return to Earth, and the third since 2003. In all three cases, those inside the capsule survived. A final report on the latest failure is expected next month, and NASA officials say they're eager to read it, because another American astronaut is scheduled to fly on board a Soyuz in October. One of four skydivers who survived an April plane crash in Missouri has sued the skydiving company and its pilot for negligence. The Springfield News Leader reports Tara Smith filed the suit in Greene County Circuit Court on Monday. The suit seeks fair and reasonable damages from Freefall Express Skydiving Incorporated to cover medical and other related expenses. Smith broke her right leg as she exited the Cessna P-206 on April 21st. According to the National Transportation Safety Board's preliminary report on the crash, pilot Jason Rogge inadvertently entered a spin at 10,500 feet when he tried to turn back toward the jump zone. Two female staffers of Freefall Express died in that accident. One attempted to jump from the stricken aircraft, but her reserve chute got tangled on the Cessna's tail. The second was found inside the aircraft wreckage. Rogge survived, but has not yet been interviewed by the NTSB due to the extent of his injuries. Smith's suit alleges that Freefall Express and owner Brian Wilford failed to train Rogge to operate the jump aircraft with the highest degree of care, and claims the pilot did not operate the Cessna with the degree of skill and learning ordinarily used. Quick thinking is credited with saving the life of a pilot this past weekend near Denver, Colorado. 58-year-old Mark Johnson was flying the pattern at Platte Valley Airport in his 1956 de Havilland DH-112 Venom when he lost engine power about 12:30 p.m. Mountain Time on Saturday. He made a forced landing in an alfalfa field, but hit an irrigation ditch and sheared off the landing gear. As the plane slowed, he was able to jump clear before it caught fire. The post-crash fire consumed most of the fuselage and inboard wing structure. Because part of the plane is constructed from magnesium, firefighters couldn't even put water on it right away and had to call in hazmat crews. The Venom is a British post-World War II single-engine jet fighter developed from the de Havilland Vampire. It served primarily with the Royal Air Force and as the Sea Venom variant with the Fleet Air Arm and Royal Navy. Both the Venom and Sea Venom also saw service with Australia, New Zealand, Iraq, Sweden, Switzerland, and Venezuela. The Venom is rare as a civilian warbird, with only 20 examples left flying in the U.S., Switzerland, New Zealand, and the U.K. The accident aircraft is reportedly a total loss. Still ahead, Citation jet owners get increased peace of mind at overhaul time. CMC's PilotView EFB gets STC'd for Bombardier Challengers. And Sikorsky's X2 demonstrator enters blades-on ground testing. You're listening to Aero News.
This is a story of two pilots. Our first guy, the one with Garmin Waas GPS, he just arrived home from a trip, ready to enjoy a nice home-cooked meal with his supermodel girlfriend.
Chérie, viens près moi.
But our other guy, the pilot without Waas, well, he couldn't quite make it home. Had to divert to an airport with an ILS approach. So now it's dinner from a vending machine in some crummy pilot's lounge. You know which pilot you want to be. Garmin Waas GPS. Follow the leader.
Chérie.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, May 22, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. In Geneva, Cessna announced at this week's eBase show that it has teamed with Dallas Air Motive to offer a program for owners of Citation business jets that are powered by Pratt & Whitney JT-15D engines. The Engenuity Citation engine program controls costs and guarantees a 45-day turn time for overhauls designed to enhance the engine's performance, efficiency, and reliability. Under the total price guarantee option, the price quoted at the engine pre-qualification inspection is exactly the amount the customer will pay, even if high-cost replacement parts are necessary to complete the overhaul. Brackets and harnesses are included, and the guarantee covers all applicable Category 1 through 6 service bulletins. The Flat Rate Core Plus option provides one fixed price to cover every element of an overhaul, with the exception of replacement parts required to overhaul the engine. Engines are removed for overhaul at any of Cessna's 10 worldwide Citation service centers. The company's dedicated customer service representatives manage the rest of the process. Engines in the Engenuity program are covered under 100% parts and labor warranty by Dallas Air Motive for 10 years or 3,500 hours. CMC Electronics tells ANN that Midcoast Aviation of St. Louis, Missouri, was recently granted supplemental type certificate approval to install CMC's PilotView electronic flight bag systems on Bombardier Challenger Series business jets. The approval grants Midcoast the first Class 2 EFB system approval for the Challenger Series. Midcoast has installed the PilotView using a slide mounting bracket system to the left and right of the pilot and co-pilot, respectively. Midcoast has been installing the PilotView Class 2 EFB in Bombardier Global Express and CL-604 business jets for the last 2 years. The STC for the CL-605 is the first CMC Electronics Equipment STC for Midcoast. John Barker, who is CMC's Director of Marketing and Sales in the Americas, says, quote, many of the features found only in Class 3 EFBs, such as FMS-style line select keys, a high-resolution, fully dimmable display, integrated communication capabilities, and DO-160D qualification, make the PilotView EFB an ideal system to meet the varied requirements of the business jet operator and air transport markets, unquote. Sikorsky Aircraft announced at EBACE this week a major milestone for its X2 technology demonstrator program. Successful ground tests of the aircraft, with rotor blades installed and spinning for the first time. The initial blades-on-ground test was conducted May 11th and went according to plan, according to company officials. The ground tests are continuing at Sikorsky's Schweitzer Aircraft Rapid Prototyping Facility in Horseheads, New York, in preparation for the X-2's first flight. James Cagdis, Program Manager for Advanced Programs, predicts that this milestone and those to come, quote, will continue to pique the interest of our military, commercial, and international customers regarding the potential that X-2 technology could have on their diverse missions around the globe, unquote. As ANN has reported, the X-2 technology demonstrator combines technologies intended to advance the state-of-the-art counter-rotating coaxial rotor helicopter. It's designed to demonstrate a helicopter can cruise comfortably at 250 knots while retaining excellent low-speed handling, efficient hovering, and auto-rotation safety, and a seamless and simple transition to high speed. And finally, the economy may have some of us finding ways to trim, but there are always people who can afford not to compromise. Following Augusta Westland's luxury helicopter collaboration with Versace, Eurocopter chose EBACE as the venue for its announcement this week of the sale of its first EC-135 Le Helicopter Par Hermes to Falcon Aviation Services, a provider of high-level aviation charter services in the United Arab Emirates and Persian Gulf regions. Starting with the EC-135's generous space for four passengers, the cabin was completely redesigned by Hermes Interior and Design to maximize available space, with surfaces from floor to ceiling covered in a signature Hermes canvas used to manufacture the firm's luggage since the 1920s. Seats are handcrafted in natural grain calf leathers, and fabrics and leathers are chosen to soften ambient noise and vibration. A sliding glass partition separates passenger compartment and cockpit, as is customary in automotive limousines. FAS Chairman Salim Al-Kayomi said his company is extremely honored to be the first customer for the exclusive helicopter. Quote, "Inside this helicopter, where single minute detail is well designed and well thought of, it is as if we are entering a cocooned zone of comfort, where all our needs are taken care of, leaving us the luxury of traveling in peace without having to neither worry nor think about anything," unquote. Well, the slightly fractured English aside, Salim, you're only too welcome. You're making me feel much better about the price I'm paying for aviation fuel made from the oil from your most excellent region. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk with 2008 National CFI of the Year Max Trescott about what training will be required for VLJ pilots by regulators and by common sense. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.